gamers, trainers, and Pokemon, you are listening to Pokemon's Health, Pokemon Meets Men's Mental Health, and I am your host, Roy Flash Gordon. I also want to ask you to leave a review if you have yet to do so. Those reviews go a really long way in helping people find us, people who might vibe with the message, people who may need support in the community that we're building, and I'd really appreciate if you'd show us that love. Our guest today is a VGC competitor who recently placed fifth at the Toronto Regional. He's also the host of his YouTube series called Roulette to Ranked, where he picks a random Pokemon each week and slaps a team together with them and is trying to go from Pokeball all the way up to Master Ball rank. He's a man that goes by the name of Bobby Rochelle, and we're going to speak to him coming up right about now. And it's Pokemon's Health. Roy Flash Gordon here with Bobby Rochelle. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm tired. I'm stressed, but that's how I am every day. You know, so we just make the best of it. You know.
Yeah, feel that life-lifing, adulting, whatever. So, Bobby, why don't you tell the folks a little bit about yourself? How old are you? Where are you from? And what are you doing in the world?
Yeah, of course. My name is Bobby Rochelle. I am originally from Fort Worth, Texas, which is a long, a long walk from where I am now. Yeah, I was just down there visiting my folks, just because I was my background is in theater and in performance, and so I was doing a play that overlapped with Christmas.
Beautiful.
And so I was just down south to see the family, just because I didn't get to see them for that. And then, as in regards to Pokemon, I started playing some competitive matches in Sword and Shield, have started doing the circuit in Scarlet Violet. I have a couple, I've got a handful of top 32 finishes under my belt, and the very last tournament I was at Toronto, I got fifth, which was very exciting.
It's huge, dude. It was so cool to be there seeing you do that and being like, I know that guy on stream. That's so cool. Man, you really killed it. And definitely one of the smartest players that I've been lucky enough to encounter. And we got to mention, of course, your YouTube series. You tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. Oh, and I was going to say, actually, Leroy, you beat me last time we faced. So I'm still excited to back at you for that.
My greatest Pokemon accomplishment. And I'm sure there was something, there's probably a crit in there that mattered for sure.
No, honestly, just the last couple times I played you, I think you played it really well. And my friend Sharpie, who I team build with, was talking as well, because I think he played you at the MSS in like Peoria.
Yeah.
He was talking about how it's like you had the better of him for a lot of it. Then he was able to kind of like squeak it out at the end.
Yeah, It was a tough one. I do remember that match. And you two have definitely been like some of those important matches where it was like, okay, I think I'm starting to get this, if I can at least like hang in there with them and like get that feedback from you guys. It's been extremely helpful. You've helped me more times than not for sure, dude.
I mean that's how anyone gets better. Just you face people who are good at the game, you win some, you lose some, and then you're like, okay, how do I beat Heatran? And it's nice sometimes if you can talk through it as well. You asked me a question, and then I started rambling, and I forgot what the question was.
It was just to share a little bit about my favorite YouTube series, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Roulette to Rank. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. I was super excited about I'm super excited about this series. Basically, what I do is I ran – for the first episode, I randomly generate six Pokemon. And I have to get to Master Ball with those Pokemon from like Pokeball Tier 1. And each time I go up a rank, I get to add a random Pokemon to the team. And so sometimes you get a really good Pokemon like Iron Bundle. And sometimes you get a Pokemon where you have to be a little more creative with how you add it to the team, like Psyduck.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know. I really love playing with like limited resources and just trying to see like what's the most you can build with like, I don't know, just like some like a handful of amazing tools and like a handful of just like really odd, never used tools. It's just
Yeah.
a really fun challenge for me. Yeah, and yeah, make sure to check out the series on YouTube. I am Frolicker VGC. That's my handle on Twitter as well. And yeah, there's quite a few episodes of that out of just me laddering, climbing up the ranks with a whole bunch of weird mons like Psyduck, Skidoo. Skidoo, if you watch an episode of Roulette to Ranked, you are pretty much guaranteed to see Skidoo single-handedly win a game.
Skidoo is my favorite, I think, on the team. Like, I'm really rooting for Skidoo, and I'm like, I'm doing a Skidoo playthrough one day in the future generation. Like, it's just like you've made me a fan, and it's from your like I watching it. Like, I know playing you, like, you know what you're doing, very smart player, but watching it, it's like your knowledge of the game, like in a like a breadth of knowledge, really. That's got to be extremely useful for you, like in competitive for sure, but like to do a challenge like this, you need it.
Yeah, and I mean the best way to develop kind of a breadth of knowledge is to just do silly silly things like that. It's like
Totally.
if you do a Nuzlocke, you might realize it's like, oh, Encore is a really good move. How can I like use that in competitive? That's just
Absolutely.
one thing that comes to mind. And just like the different experiences you have with Pokemon, even if you're not necessarily drilling your Xianpao Dragonite matchup. The different experiences you have does kind of develop that breadth of knowledge that you can then pull from, and it can kind of help you either team build in creative ways or just get used to odd situations.
Absolutely. All really important stuff. So when did you get started like in Pokemon, like from the very beginning? Like, what was your first gen, and like how'd you get into the game itself?
This is like my favorite Pokemon question.
Yes.
Because that's literally if like I am at a regional trying to make a conversation, this is what I'll ask. The very first game I played was Pokemon Yellow. I could not read when I played Pokemon Yellow.
Wow.
I because like yeah, I was like in preschool, could not read anything. I basically stole my sister's game, and I think I like overwrote her save file. Cause like I was crying one day that I, cause like she let me play it, but I had to like not save, and I was crying
Yeah.
one day cause like I was gonna have to go to bed and like delete my Pokemon, and then my mom was just like, "Can't you save?" And I was like, "No," and then she like helped me save it.
Oh boy.
Sister was upset,
Yeah.
but I think at that point she had Crystal, and so Pokemon Yellow became my game from that point on. But I actually thought that the game ended when Pikachu got to like level 15 or 16, because again, I couldn't read,
Yeah.
and so I would just hit A the whole time and just kill Caterpies and Viridian Forest. And then at 15 or 16, Pikachu learned its fifth move, Double Team,
Yeah.
and then I just keep spamming A. I'd overwrite Thundershock, then I'd be like, oh, I guess the game's done,
That's amazing.
and I'd reset.
Yeah.
I think I did eventually beat it, I think, before I even played another Pokemon game. But that was my first experience. How about you? What game did you start with?
Oh, for sure, man. I started with Pokemon Red, and it's amazing. It's an amazing story. I would cut it short a little bit, but my math teacher at the time, I was in fourth grade. I was in this accelerated math class, and I don't know why, but he just like wanted to make sure I like did well and like had a good relationship with my mom and such. And he gave me his old Game Boy. So I have this old like brick, like the very first like gray,
That's
like
awesome. That's so
black and
nice.
white screen. Yeah, so cool. So he gave me that, but I didn't have any games for like probably months and months, maybe in a year. I didn't have any games. And then one day I'm walking in my neighborhood and I look on the ground and someone had dropped their copy of Pokemon Red and maybe got
Oh my
dropped, maybe
gosh.
they got jacked and someone took it from them, threw it. I don't know. But I just walked up on this copy of Pokemon Red. It was beat up. I was like, there's no way this works. I took it upstairs, put it in, found some batteries and fired it up and it was good to go. And oh man, the rest was history. I was already like a fan of Pokemon cards by then, but we didn't have the money to get a game. So I found it and yeah, here we are today, 30 years later or something, or 20 something years later, still loving it, you know?
Yeah, that's really awesome that kind of worked out. And I mean, that's how I think anybody who plays competitive started in some way. It's like they wandered upon it when they were a kid, and then they, never really lost a love for it or refound a love for it at some point.
Yeah. Man, it's a beautiful thing, and even hearing that your sister was into it, and you guys kind of have made a little Pokemon history to bond over is a pretty cool thing too.
Oh yeah, she doesn't play competitive, but I think for her most recent birthday, I bought her Pokemon Scarlet,
Ah.
and so she's been playing through that, and I like shiny hunted a Charmander to give to her as well,
Wow.
which now with the DLC, that's a very easy thing to do, but I did do the egg method,
The old school
so it
before
took
this
a little
last
bit
one.
longer, but.
Yeah.
It was nice. She didn't really know how shiny hunting worked, so she was just like, "How did you get this?" And I was like, "Effort."
That's how you do it,
But
man. That's awesome. So we'll ask a little question about one of the topics of the podcast is masculinity, this idea of it. We all, come from all our backgrounds and get a bunch of information about what we're supposed to be as men. And I was just wondering, just in your opinion, however you take the question, what is a man, quote unquote, supposed to be?
that's an interesting question. I haven't really given it a lot of thought. I mean, my own personal belief is that anybody can make of themselves whatever they like, and I don't think you have to really change who you are to fit these certain boxes, but I think society does kind of supply us with these sorts of boxes. And so it's like, even though you don't have to kind of fit into them, they do still exist. They are impactful, no matter how much you may try to ignore them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can really answer what a man is supposed to be.
Yeah. It's a tricky question.
No, I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, I think what we all should aspire to be is happy for one, and then I think in addition to that, just make sure that you make decisions in life and treat other people in a way where when you go to bed at night, you can, feel good
Yes.
about how you impacted the world. So just being kind and thoughtful are big things, and I guess when it comes to Pokemon, I think it's important to just keep everything in perspective,
Yeah.
because it's easy to, like, if you're at a tournament, be like, oh, I got crit, or like, oh, my mon got frozen. But sometimes you can gain a lot more and make somebody's day if you're just like, oh, that was like a really close match. Like there's a little bit of a stuff unlucky stuff that happens at the end, but that's why we play Pokemon. And it can be
Yeah.
like, oh, why did you add Arcanine to your team when we have Incineroar right now? And then you can kind of, if you're able to take a step back, treat others with kindness, then you can kind of make some friends along the way, make people's day, and then
Yeah.
you leave feeling better about a bad result potentially than if you just kind of let your own emotions out at
Absolutely.
the time.
Absolutely. Man, I think you said a lot of powerful stuff. I do think ultimately at the end of the day, we can make of ourselves what we want to and not have to, give in to any societal pressures or buy into any messages that, don't fit who we are at the core of it for sure. And the second thing on kindness, especially in context of Pokemon, I remember my first local coming out. You were one of the first people I talked to, and you like just talking to you and how nice you were. I was like, okay, I think you'd be at ease. I think this is like, you know, it's my first time like interacting with any like in-person gaming community at all. And sometimes, you know, you hear a lot of news about it just kind of being toxic spaces sometimes. And meeting you, I was just like put immediately at ease. I'm like, okay, this is the vibe. Like, it's chill, it's supportive, like already offering to give me any sort of help I might need to help learn the game. Like, that meant a lot to me. I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you so much. And I've really appreciated my interactions with you as well, because it's like, yeah, we met at the local, and then every time we've met, you've gone out of your way to say hi. We've talked a little bit about Pokemon, you know, and just always been super pleasant. And then also just like I very recently started up my YouTube series, and like you always like tweeted out things like just being very supportive and kind about it.
Yeah,
And
dude.
went out of your way to just be really nice and supportive, more than anyone I could really think of in the community, truth be told.
Oh,
And I
man. Thank you for that.
was just like, I don't know, just very blown away by that kindness as well. And to talk about the Pokemon community, just 'cause like I was in kind of the same boat you talked about probably just like a month or two before. Because I think it's 'cause your background is in wrestling, right?
Yeah, pro wrestling is what I spent m much of the last 10 years doing.
And my background is in theater, which I not I wrestling and theater aren't quite the same, but I think
They're
both
like
are different.
cousins. They're like related somehow, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, like, did you do like wrestling, like, oh, like did you do like
Like
wrestling, like
WWE,
the
like The
sport,
Rock.
or was it like The Rock and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, like The Rock. Yeah.
Well,
So it's
then no,
like,
those are very similar then.
yeah. So it's a
Oh,
show.
that's
It's a show,
awesome.
number one, man. And like meeting you, hearing your name, I'm like, I think this guy's an actor, Bobby Rochelle. That sounds like an actor's name, right? So like I like have that same love of performance, but like and hey, maybe I'll hit the acting stage one day. I don't know. But like wrestling is where I express that, because I also had that love of, you know, athletics, and it was like just a beautiful marriage of those two kind
Yeah,
of
no,
worlds.
a good mix.
Yeah.
No, and you can definitely translate those talents to the stage, absolutely. Or to film.
Yeah, totally. A
As
lot of
well.
me like has dreams of that one day. But wrestling was where, you know, that where it came out, and yeah, just had a lot of fun there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and if you want to do film as well, I think people would find that background interesting. You know, I think it's like you need performers from like all different walks of life and experiences, because that's how people are.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just a very unique a unique background that's a lot of fun, and I think people would be very interested to hear about, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, but I was talking about joining the Pokemon community. No, it was intimidating because I had never joined in kind of like a gamer community in person.
Yeah.
I had never gone to, it's like I had friends who had gone to like a Smash tournament or something, but that was never something I had done, so I really didn't know what to expect. And overall, it's like I've really enjoyed the community. It's like I think there's always some people who like struggle to like who might not be interested in making a lot of conversation, or might just be really upset if they end up losing. But I know, especially like in our community in Good Games, there's just a whole bunch of people that are super nice and easy to get along with.
Yes.
And I think my favorite thing is when you have a match, inevitably someone wins and someone loses. But it's really nice when you're still like, no matter what, able to talk about like the different things that happened.
Yeah.
Different like things that like either player could have done differently, why decisions were made. And I just feel like at Good Games, it's like regardless of wins or losses, there's a lot of people who are willing to kind of like talk through it and just love the game and are having fun there no matter what, which has been really fun and a little bit surprising.
Yeah, no, I hear you, dude. When I
Because
first
yeah, no, it's
came
always scary going to a new community.
there, I I just remember leaving, and it might have been even after the second local. Like first one, I was like, "Oh man, that was really cool." But like the second one, I'm like, "Yo, that was so crazy cool!" Like I'm out here just playing Pokemon with people and just talking the game and like just having the freedom to do that. And I'll share a little bit about like right. So I have a more like quote unquote sporty jockey like kind of background and whatnot. And like in high school, it was not super safe, I'd say, to just be out there playing Pokemon like all openly and whatnot. And like you would, but like, you know, some of the guys didn't really like want to talk about it further than like that time we were on the track meet bus that we all brought our Game Boys, and like that was really it for them. Like, but me, I'm like, oh, I'm a lifer, baby. Like I'm playing like all the time. And to come and be able to experience this with other people that are feel like quote unquote lifers also was so cool.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like you're going to an event and then everyone does share the same passion.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it's, I don't know, it's like in my theater background, it's like I don't think people it's usually pretty free of judgment of just like different hobbies
Yeah.
and lifestyles and whatnot. But there wasn't a lot of people who played Pokemon.
I get you.
So it actually was for me, it just like it was kind of a hobby I had that did die down a little bit for a number of years. Just like as I went to college, was focused on other stuff.
Yeah.
I before that hadn't really gotten into the competitive scene. And with the pandemic, it's like I had bought Sword and Shield, started watching, you know, some Wolfie videos.
Yeah.
And was trying my hand at it, and it's something that I think would have died for me as a pandemic hobby if it wasn't for the community that I found going to in-person tournaments and
Oh,
getting to kind of
yeah.
talk with different people about it. And that's been a lot of fun, especially for me because I moved to a new city not super long ago, and I had a couple friends who are my roommates. But didn't know too many other people here. And so yeah, getting to go to good games tournaments, kind of talk with people, socialize a little bit in that
Yeah.
way, has been just a lot of fun for me, very fulfilling.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, I really, really appreciate in the community and just becoming more a part of it just feels very warm. Back on the
Excellent.
topic of kind of that the standards that we're often being kind of taught or forced upon us around this topic of being a quote unquote real man. Were there any times where you had ever felt like direct pressure from, you know, I don't know, maybe just society as a whole or even people in your life to live up to some sort of standard like that, you know, and how did you kind of get through that if you ever have?
I think what you just said is something that, I mean, I think every guy goes through. It's just like I think men are expected to be certain things. Like they are expected to, you know, maybe be non-emotional, to kind of hold everything together, to be tough
Yeah.
at different points. And it's like everyone, I think, faces that pressure, and they may handle it in different ways.
Yeah.
The way I handled it, when I was really young, like back in elementary school, it's like I was just a super emotional kid. I'd cry at just about everything, and my folks were really kind of concerned about that. And I kind of got it in my head that nobody would like me because I was so emotional, and that no one would take me seriously. Which like I was like at fourth grade when I was thinking these things, so I don't think
Yeah.
anyone else really thought that too much, but I think that pressure was still sort of there.
Yeah.
The expectation to kind of be tougher than I was, because I was a guy. And so how I ended up handling it was I kind of made myself into a little bit of a clown, made myself into somebody that people didn't need to take seriously. I would pretend to be maybe a little dumber than I was and kind of poke fun at myself. And so when I would end up losing control of my emotions and crying, that it would still kind of make sense in people's minds of who I was, and it wouldn't be like some sort of break or flaw in other people's minds, which I think is not a not maybe a super common approach, but it was still kind of a decision I made when I was a lot younger, where I was just like, oh, it's like to be a man, I have to be tough, I have to be like composed. I don't know if I can do that. I'm just gonna do the opposite of that. And that way people will maybe accept me, just because I'm not sure I can live up to all of these standards. Which it just like as I got older, I kind of realized kind of the flaws in that and tried to kind of be more honest and open about who I was, my opinions on things. Just because it kind of manifested in me kind of hiding any opinions I might have and hiding any thoughts I would have and making myself seem less smart than I was. And so it's like I didn't end up molding to, I think, the kind of stereotypical masculine, manly stereotype or whatever. But the fact that that stereotype existed had a huge impact on who I ended up being. So I was gonna ask, how about you? How has, I guess, the idea of masculinity, or what a man should be, how has that impacted you as you've kind of grown up and
That's a
made your
lot,
way in the
man.
world?
I'm trying to think about it, like from how it I think the number one thing, there's probably a good deal, but I'll share one example where I think that I needed to be cool. And if I was cool, I was kind of safe. You know what I mean? And I can definitely directly speak about this in terms of Pokemon and other things that I enjoyed over the years. It probably first happened with Power Rangers in like second grade, you know, where everyone was done with it and I'm just kind of like, oh no, but I love that shit. And they like I just remember directly my best friends being like, that's for little kids, bro. We're growing up. I'm not watching that anymore. You shouldn't watch it anymore. And I was just like, yes, you're right. I shouldn't watch it anymore. And then like Pokemon started to get hot. Which items like kind of confusing. I was like, I don't see why this is like how this is much different. And of course, I still watched the Power Rangers, but I didn't talk about it, right? So, like, and then that eventually happened with Pokemon as we went later into elementary school, right? They start to let that fall away, and I'm still like, I dig it. I'm gonna play every single game, and I won't talk to these people about it. And there's always just this thing that was like really fun that I really loved that I didn't bring to my friends, and we didn't really connect on those things. And like that Pokemon's just an example of it, but there was like, okay, I need to talk like this, I need to walk like this, I need to dress like this, I need to be interested in girls like this, you know, like just those kind of things that if I like could like be my like nerdier self and like enjoy the stuff that everyone else is letting fall away because apparently that's what we're supposed to do as we grow up. I'm gonna continue to enjoy it and I'll just do it by myself. But over here, I'll be this person. And it's kind of like, you know, led me into this habit of having split sections. And I think there's a healthy level of, hey, I have my friends that I do this with, and my friends that I do that with, but like I don't think this is that, you
But
know.
it's different to be kind of hiding things,
Yes,
you
exactly. The
know.
hiding thing. When you said hiding, when you were sharing earlier, I was like, that's the word. It feels like hiding. And I'm like, that definitely resonates with me as something that you know, when we are the standards, a very short list of standards, like when you compare it to all things we can be as humans in our fullness, like when you compare it to the list of standards that they're like, oh, masculine traditional men can be this. It's like that's nothing. That's so limiting. So we often have to just hide all these other ways of being a lot of times. I don't think like, you know, I do think after a certain age, like you're probably solidified as this traditional thing and you're stuck there and you need a lot of like help to get out of it if you're interested in getting out of it. But I really think the real thing that's happening is a lot of guys are just hiding parts of themselves in ways that, you know, just limiting our fullness is what I like to think of it as.
No, and I think everyone has faced that at
Yeah.
different points, and it's like, yeah, it's like you mentioned, it's like you talk to different friend groups about different things, or it's like you talk to a teacher a different way than you would talk to like your best friend, but it's different. Yeah, if you are hiding a part of yourself, then
Totally.
that's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher to deal with.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think, yeah, in general, it's like, yeah, just like growing up, it's like if you're a little kid, you're not worried about what other people are thinking. It's like you like what you like. You like your Pokemon, you like your
Yeah.
SpongeBob, whatever. And then it's like you grow up, you get to middle school, and then you're like, what does everyone think about all of this stuff?
Yes.
And it's like you get in your head. And then, in my opinion, a part of growing up, and I think some people do struggle with this, is just finally getting to that stage where you're like, oh, no, I don't care what other people think. I still
Yes.
like Pokemon. I'll
Yes.
still watch SpongeBob or Phineas and Ferb or whatever,
Heck yeah.
and still enjoy it. And yeah, it's like if you can reach that place, then that's really nice. But I also think it's like you can re reach that place with some things. Like you can like realize it's like, okay, I like to play Pokemon. I'm gonna go back to that old hobby, even though it's a bit of a kid's game. And you can also not be there with other things as well.
Yeah.
Like you could st still have a difficulty of talking about different emotions or anxieties
Yeah.
that you're going through.
Definitely.
And it's like everyone's got their own journey. And yeah, it's, I don't know, it's like the world will definitely mess you up in some different ways, and you gotta try
Yeah.
to pick up the pieces and make the best of it you can.
For sure. That's a good segue to probably wrapping up here with just a couple more questions. And this one is just if there was there any maybe recent or former mental or emotional health struggle that you've had to overcome that you could share a little bit about?
Sure. When I was in, I think in general, I have a bit of anxiety. Just that's something that happens with me.
Yeah.
And growing up, I think my folks were just very focused on, like, I don't know, it's like if I was playing video games or if I was doing something that wasn't work, they would kind of ask, like, what could you be doing instead? And even though it's like I got straight A's, was doing a lot of theater, had a lot of extracurriculars going on, I always just felt this guilt if I was ever in a position where I wasn't like actively working.
Yeah.
And I remember it just like I was in college, and it's like I'd still be kind of pushing myself. And I just, my junior year, I just got this like huge kind of like crippling level of anxiety where it's like I would just be like walking down the hallway, and then I would just like struggle to continue walking. And like I would just like feel kind of like just my chest kind of tense up,
Yeah.
and like it was just kind of a struggle to continue on in some different ways. And eventually it's like I kind of decided to go to therapy, which was a good decision.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like at the start, like my therapist was like, why are you here? And I was like, I need to accomplish more things. Like, I am not working hard enough.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, at the end, it's like, I kind of realized, no, that's not it. Just going to therapy kind of helped me realize, oh, no, you just need to accept that you don't need to be doing things all of the time.
Yeah.
That feeling nervous, feeling anxious, that's a normal thing. It happens. And you may feel so anxious that you can accomplish less. But it's important to still be happy with yourself and accepting of yourself in those situations, and to just always be kind to yourself. And those are kind of some lessons that I learned my last couple of years in college that were very, very helpful and continue to
Yeah.
be very helpful.
That's awesome, man. Powerful stuff. And I could tell like there's just something about you and the way you carry yourself that tells me that you've done some work, you know? You've done ask yourself the questions you need to ask yourself to kind of get to some conclusions, you know? There's folks that, you know, are lacking, like I don't know. I just have a good sense of it. You know, I could have a good sense of this person's, you know, been in the therapist office and done what they needed to do to move past whatever it is. You know, I can't tell what the thing is, but I can just tell there's been some work done, and I'm glad that you know, got to those conclusions.
And I mean, I definitely still have plenty of work to do on my own self. And I will
Hey.
say, I think it's awesome that you've got this podcast going, and especially, I think it's awesome that you're focusing on like the mental health struggles that people have and the different roadblocks they might have in their way, specifically just like as they're going through their lives and as people play like this children's game. It just like I mean, it's interesting to ask. It's like, what did you have to overcome to get here? And what was in your way? How'd you deal with it?
Yeah.
You know, much like one might have to figure out a way to deal with an Amoongus, who is spamming spore or rage powder. You might need to rethink how you organize your team such that you have enough powder immunities or taunt or something. You know, you
Yo.
need to take care of your own self
Dude, you
and
just
go
summed it
out of your
up.
way to do such a thing.
You summed it up. I think we play, you mentioned earlier reasons why we play, and I think part of it is seeking challenge, right? And I'm like, yo, if we can seek these challenges and take these challenges on, and this game also brings people together and like come together around this game, like, you know, there's other challenges I know we're all facing, and the way we help each other face the challenges in game, we can help each other face these challenges in real life too, you know. And a lot of it is just acknowledging, sharing, seeing yourself in another person, just all go so far, you know. And I really just so excited to be trying to bring some awareness around this stuff for guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
One last thing I gotta ask. What's the next regional you're going to, Leroy?
Oh, baby, I'm in Charlotte next week. How about you?
Me too. Yeah.
Yes, I'll see you there. I'm so
So I'll see you
excited.
there.
Yeah.
Still don't know exactly what I'm bringing,
Same here,
but
dude.
I'll be looking at that today.
I'm about to hop on stream, and I'm gonna play with a random superior team. I'm not bringing it to Charlotte, but I just want to have fun today and just like, let me just put down what I'm gonna bring to Charlotte next week and just play the game. And you know, there's plenty other pieces on the team that might become the Charlotte anyway, so it's gonna be okay practice and just like, just have some fun with it. And just take a little pressure off the whole what am I bringing thing. There's two team candidates, and we're gonna pick it up later, but not right now, you know what I mean? But I'm really excited. Seems like it's gonna be really big. My girl's coming with me. We're gonna, you know, make a
Awesome.
trip of it. It's gonna be a really good time, dude, and I'm glad to hear you're gonna be there.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few people from Chicago going, which is always a lot of fun. Just gonna
Yeah.
it's a really fun community. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you there, chatting with you once we get there.
Of course, man. Last couple wrap-up questions. How would you say, like, what about Pokemon makes you happy? Like, how's it contributed to your happiness?
I mean, I would have stopped playing if it wasn't for the community. Just getting to talk with people about something you're passionate about
Yes.
is huge, and like getting to go to those tournaments of good games is so much fun. I mean, it's also just puzzle solving as well, of just like, what does this team need? Why did I lose that game? And I mean, it's a really complex game, and it's a lot of fun to lose to really great players and to be
Yeah.
like, how did they do that? And it
Totally.
just, I don't know, it's like I have some moments of awe with that. It's like I lost to Riley Fectura, and it's like I took him to three games to my credit, thanks to Lucky
Beautiful.
Crit. I had him on the back foot game three as well, but it just, his positioning was so amazing. His use of Amoongus and was really punishing for that whole set, and his just ability to pivot was really interesting. I don't know, it's just like sometimes you have games that just make you think and that's a
Yo,
lot of fun too.
like seeing it happen, it makes me like every time I get to like something like that, I'm just Like I get deeper into it because it's just like, oh man, seeing like mastery like that is like there is so much for me to learn, and that makes me excited. As long as I'm learning, I'm not going to get tired of this thing personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it would get super boring if you thought you knew everything. Or
Totally.
like, yeah, if you're not receptive to any new knowledge, then yeah, the game gets boring.
Definitely. Last question. What if you could imagine a man out there struggling with whatever he's going through, what might you say to encourage him?
I would say be kind to yourself. Everyone has periods where they struggle. It's part of life. I mean, I would also say, I would also say, like, get out there, do something, like, find something you enjoy and seek out a community that also enjoys that thing. Like, Pokemon's one example, but you could also go out, find a new activity. You could go out, do some yoga. You could go out, sign up for like a soccer team or something, or like a sign up for a pickleball league. In your community. And I for me, it's like, even though it's the most difficult thing in the world for me to get myself to do, I think the best way to kind of get yourself out of a rut is to find an activity with other people who enjoy that activity, talk with them about it, and then it just kind of puts you in a different mood. If it's hard to get into a new mood or a better place of mind if you're just sitting by yourself, really.
Yes, absolutely. Mic drop. Bobby Rochelle, thank you so much for the time, man. I am so excited to see you in Charlotte, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, always good talking to you, Leroy. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. Take care.
And friends, that is a wrap with Bobby Rochelle. This is a very special conversation. It's very warm. Again, Bobby's one of the first people that I met here in the Chicago VGC community, and has always been super supportive and just so kind. So it's really fun to get to know him a bit better and enjoy the conversation. As stated in the podcast, we are right around the corner from Charlotte, so I'm looking forward to being there. I'm hoping to see some of you guys there. If you see me, I'm the guy in the red vest, like you may have seen me stream with at some point in the past. So looking forward to being there. Super pumped to meeting everybody who I have not, gotten to see in person before that I've met from the stream or social media and otherwise. And yeah, it's just a super exciting time. I think it's going to be a really, really special regional that we got coming up this weekend. So without further ado, check me out next week. Again, give us a follow, give us a review if you haven't done so yet. And we will talk soon.